T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sean Salisbury with us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sean, how are you?
Doing good, bud.
Sean, what are you? Good, man. What do you think of all the these like All-Star games, the Senior Bowl, you know, the Shrine Game, all these games at the end of the year? Do they tell us a lot? Do the practice tell us a lot, or should we be paying more attention to the actual game film from the regular season games more?
Game film during the regular season first. I find this fascinating, and I'll never understand it, but I think that maybe we feel this way, but when you're a scout or a general manager or a coach and you're looking at the hardcore player and the investment you're about to make, they're smart enough to know that an all-star game isn't where you should do all your studying. You want to see the guy under pressure, but you're going to watch his hardcore film and talk to coaches on how he practices after a bad game. Can he play when he's bruised up a little bit? All those things. But they do matter. There's some guys, I've just never understood how in the off season from January to April, a guy can rise and fall more than he did in pads.
Yeah.
I mean, like at the combine. I personally, and I know it's a made-for-TV event, and we got to get the measurables. I get it. But there's a whole lot of really good football players that may not be combine freaks, and there's been a lot of combine freaks who couldn't play a lick of football. And I know it's fun for people. I'm not a big combine guy. And when we get to that, when it's that term, because I don't know what I'm going to find out other than those measurables and a guy running. I'd love to see our guys run in football pads. I'd love to see our quarterbacks throw to our receivers in gear. I would love to see it as close as we could get. There's not going to be any contact at the combine, but I don't judge a guy from shorts and a t-shirt because he can throw it 80 yards in a uniform. That's fine and dandy, but can he throw it 22 yards against single coverage when the guy's gripping a receiver on the outside and hit him on his outside shoulder on a comeback? So we rise and fall, but the All-Star games are fun for the guys. I do think the Senior Bowl, all the NFL people that are there, and I don't think the game matters as much. It's that daily grind of practice, how you get in and out of the huddle. Can you process information from the meeting room to the field? They're looking at all those little things. You're going to make mistakes in the game. You only get a week with those guys or whatever it is, but they're trying to figure out, is he coachable? When he makes a mistake, does his head hang, or does he come back and play better after adversity hits him? Those are the things that if I was a coach, I'd be looking at, and I know that's what they're looking at. And then the measurables at the combine, all that comes in, or if you see a guy, and the guy who maybe we don't talk about, and you say, damn, look how good he is. He was at a smaller school, but he's explosive. For those guys, it's great. I don't know what the combine does for the first pick of the draft other than for us to talk about it, but when it comes to the All-Star games, like the Senior Bowl, practice is more important than the actual game, and you can learn something, especially if you're still questioning a guy, say, well, how is he on a Wednesday after two practices? So there is stuff to be learned, but I'm more of a game film guy because that's where you're going to make or break your football player and team.
No doubt. You know, Sean, I played in the Shrine Game coming out of college, out of Ohio State, and practices no doubt are important, but like these meetings at night when these coaches have a chance to sit down with these players, it's more than just the 15 minutes they get at the combine and get a chance to really dive into these players a little bit. You know, did you play, by the way, did you play in any All-Star games coming out of SC?
I was coming off a blown out knee, so yeah. I didn't get a chance. I shredded my knee twice in college. Dustin, you make a great point. And it is so true, because you're right. This is an interview schedule where the guy's kind of prepared for, are you going to ask me a crazy question? This is other quarterbacks, other defensive line. We're sitting in a meeting room. I'm your coach for a week. And you get up on the board and teach me. You get up. I mean, there's things you can find out about, you know, not just personality throughout the week and how teammates, for instance, if you're questioning a leadership of a player, how do players, when you're walking them, walk down the hall? I know this sounds crazy, but if you're going to invest this kind of, first of all, you're investing it in your career as a coach. These are the guys that are either going to keep your job or lose your job for you. And you're walking down the hallway, or a quarterback, maybe a coach has told you or somebody along the line, you question how he handles the room or where the leadership is, and you know this, and you're there, and you see it, and you were part of that, is you say, this is different than I've heard. Guys are gravitate towards him. You got one in 10, I mean, he's a first pick, but when you watch Baker Mayfield with players, they just kind of gravitate to him like a baby duck following around a mother duck. We want to be around the guy. And you find that out about guys. So there are hidden gems you find out. And I'm convinced that practice and meetings with those guys are far more important than, hey, can you throw a 12-yard curl route when the guy's wide open sitting in a hole and the safety runs, you know, a curl to flat combo, hook to flat. Okay, that's fine. Well, you better be able to do that. But what are the other things that I'm trying to decide? Are you a second rounder? Are you the fifth pick? Are you the 38th pick? Those things matter to coaches because I want to find out about the guy that's going to be sitting in that room every day.
We're talking with Sean Salisbury, AM 790 in Houston. Sean, let's talk about the playoffs. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on it yesterday.
Yeah.
The thing in the Saints game, to me, is a disgrace. I saw John Elway today say, well, you can't review every pass interference, so how can you do it? And I saw people agree with him, and I said, wow, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. We don't have to review every pass interference, Sean. We just have to review the ones that are so obviously wrong that we need to correct it when everybody on the planet knows they got the call wrong. Is that unfair?
No, it isn't. And no coach wants to review or player wants to review every pass interference.
Sure.
Because if that's just like a receiver. Have you ever known every receiver, he's always open?
That's right.
And he may be open. So they were, hey, dude, I was open. Then you go look at the film. You were open 8 times, not 28 times, dude. Settle down a little bit. So it was a disgrace. And I know that this isn't an apology is no consolation. So you don't get a consolation prize for finishing third or fourth because you're not going to the Super Bowl. That nobody cares about your apology. How do we fix it? Okay. And it was a disgrace. And the crazy thing about it is the referee, the side judge, was closer to the play than the ball was arriving to the players themselves. I mean, he almost could have reached out and touched him. So, okay, major human error. We can't do it. These guys get paid. They're supposed to be the best of the best. But I don't understand why we can't, like the guy, in the, you know, how this works, we buzz down. Why there's not a specific guy. And you know what? That guy can watch every pass interference.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that somebody has to throw a flag. We hire you to be a specialist, just like we hire capologists. It's a billion-dollar industry.
Yes.
And John knows that every Mike Tomlin or Bill Belichick aren't going to throw a flag on every pass. Some of them are just good jostling and you go. But when it's like that, but why can't we're reviewing all those plays there? They got all the cameras. Why isn't there a guy to watch and say, because to me, three plays change the game more than anything. Turnovers, special team, big plays or gaffes, block punt, return punt, change momentum, and pass interference, spot foul calls.
Yep.
Those are the three that will change a game quicker than anything. And so we've got to get it right. And if we had it right, somebody buzzed down and say, listen, man, it was a blatant call. I told you missed it. And then they huddle and say, boom, we got to change it. I'm sorry. And I don't understand why we don't review all of it. And if it means giving them one flag a half to review a pass interference, so you've got to be critical. And when you use it, that's when you use it. But I can guarantee you, as I'm sitting here now, that there is going to be some sort of change to replay and in the committee. And I hope it's not just a rule to change a rule. I hope it's for the benefit of football. Because a team, and there was other things, I know it's 6, 8 to 10 plays a game mean it, but we always remember the last one, and we always remember the most blatant mistake.
Yep.
And the officials cost the Saints, in the situation of the game, cost at least a swing through a field goal and a chance. Who knows if the guy got it blocked or missed it, but it was a horrendous call, and we ask our players and coaches to give us their best and do their best. That couldn't have been his best, because an 8-year-old wouldn't have missed that call.
Hey, Sean, are we looking at Tom Brady as the baddest man to ever play the game of football?
Yeah, you know, I said this 2 years ago. It was during Super Bowl week in Houston, when we were here in Houston. And I know I've been, and not a pat on the back, but when I hear people say, well, if he's officially the GOAT now, what were you waiting on? I mean, I don't know why this is even up for debate. Listen, I played, and I wasn't one of them, but I played in the golden era of quarterbacks. Montana, Elway, Marino, Kelly, Young, Moon, Favre. They all played. I was fortunate to sit there and watch these guys throw it around a lot, and that's about as good as it gets, and I'm probably leaving some out. So I get it. But I can tell you this, of the guys I've watched broadcast, has played with, played against, he's played half his career. Half his career has ended in Super Bowl appearances. And I'm with you. A couple of years ago when the Super Bowl was in Houston, I went on Dan's show. And he said, is Tom Brady the go-to quarterback? Is he the best quarterback ever? I said, that's in no question for me. I'm at the next level. This is the greatest football player we've ever had. I didn't say greatest athlete. I didn't say he was a fast. Matter of fact, if you put him in a superstars competition, he'd finish near the bottom. But when you put a uniform on and it's nut cut time and it's time to win, this guy, and you think about who's he played with as Hall of Famers. Vinatieri's going to go in. Belichick's going in. Moss is in, and he had him for, what, 3 years. And Gronkowski's going to go in. Other than that, he has not played with the Hall of Famer. Now, somebody, Vince Wilfork, may get in 10 years from now. I don't know. But think about it. So even done more with less, and people are going to throw the cheating things. I don't want to hear that. I understand their argument. But he's not just the best quarterback. In my mind, this is the greatest football player that we've ever had. So I don't just goat him as a quarterback. I put him as the GOAT that we've in the NFL because he's got the ball in his hand 60, 70, 80, 90 snaps a game, not 8, not 18, 80, 70, 65. This is the best football player I've ever seen, and I've been fortunate to play with some of the best, and I wish I'd have been one of them, but I wasn't, but I watched him. Brady's the best, and he continues to do it at 41 years old.
It's so funny. I guess, you know, it's hard to root for most fans. I'll include myself. It's hard to root for the Patriots because they seem so arrogant. Belichick acts like a jerk all the time. Brady's too perfect. He's good looking. He's great. Everything. His life is too easy. It seems too easy. And, you know, there's been the controversy with the cheating. I don't buy into a lot of it. But anyway, but man, you have to, whether you hate them, and I hate the Patriots, but man, do I respect them. It is absurd. The level of success they've had for this long, I mean, we've never seen anything like it in sports, really. Not in modern inhuman. Sports.
It's inhuman.
Yeah.
It's freak showish, and you're so right. And they are easy to hate. Come on, man. The guy, you know, he's got the perfect life, and we say, well, he's got the easy life. But do people realize, and I put a mechanics thing up on Twitter yesterday about his mechanics in the game and why he's the best mechanically. They don't break down under pressure. Not robotics, but mechanics. Because we're so into throwing off schedule now and arm angles. But when the pocket's clean and there's pressure. But this, the grind that he puts on, he didn't just, as the 199th pick, this dude, it didn't come easy to him. He has worked and grinded. And while people are vacationing, that dude's grinding on his mechanics on his off day and doing those things. You're right. Easy to hate. They are. They win. They always go. He's got the perfect life, it appears. But his grind is as good or better than anybody we've ever had, and I'm with you. There's actors I don't like. Maybe they drive us crazy, or singers. But when you get down, if we just put aside our hatred and say the sheer how monumental it is what he's doing, you can't help but respect. And whether you hate him or not, say, man, I get it. Especially if you're a competitor and then you're in Cleveland or you're in Miami or you're playing against him or you want to win Super Bowls. It's phenomenal what he's done. I think it might be the greatest dynasty that we've ever seen because it's 19 years worth now, guys. And I know the Celtics won 11 in a row and UCLA's John Wooden team. I get all that. But one was a handful of years. And back in Boston, when Bill Russell and that group was there, the players stayed on one team. Think about all the changes. Every year, it's the same. It's as good a dynasty as I've ever seen, and it's lasted 19 years, and they're in the Super Bowl again when everybody's most people said, nah, not this time, son. They're there. It's phenomenal to watch, and he's the best football player, especially under pressure, that I've ever seen.
Yeah, Sean, I agree with you. I think it's the greatest dynasty of all time. A lot of those dynasties, some of that you mentioned, like from the 60s and 50s and even 70s, there were less teams. The talent was more concentrated in certain places. Yep. There was no salary caps. It was easier to keep teams together. And just the nature of basketball, it's easier to have a great team for a longer time because one star in basketball makes such a big difference more than any other sport.
Even when Montana was with the 49ers and the Cowboys, they kept all their players.
Yes.
The guys didn't leave. I mean, you were shocked when a guy would leave. What? This dude's leaving this team? And now it's commonplace. And to do it with body, I'd like to see a list of every single body that played under Belichick and Brady for the 19 years.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal what they've done, and it's what we aspire to all do, and I know it's easy to hate, but I do respect it and appreciate it. It's phenomenal to watch.
I think the Spurs and the Yankees of the 90s are the only ones close, but even they're not there because the Yankees wasn't as long a time of greatness, and they have a financial advantage over other teams, and I don't know. It's amazing. It really
is. And here we are again in a week and a half, going to watch these dudes run out on a turf field in Atlanta, and the Rams are going to try to beat them. It's nothing short of phenomenal. Hell, Dan Marino wanted to get to see. Dan got the one, and we know how great he was.
Right.
And yeah. begs, and I've talked to Dan, begged for another one. This dude is playing in his ninth. It just, we will. I can't foresee one other quarterback as much as we want it playing in the salary cap era, playing in 9 Super Bowls throughout his career. Because you got to be lucky with a yeah. great coach. We also got to be lucky with health to be yeah. able to stay healthy that long. It's phenomenal what we're seeing, and he ain't done yet.
Sean, yeah, you mentioned the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that when we have you on next week, getting ready for the game. We appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us.
You guys are awesome. Always appreciate the great conversation. Thank you.
You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.